Hello and welcome to Pump, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Woggon, and I'm talking here to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Erwin Siggens. The Dutch is founder of the Green Divide in the Netherlands, and today he's releasing a new video about a bike tour he did this summer with a very special background. Hey Erwin, thank you so much for taking the time to do this podcast with us. Where are you right now?
No problem. I'm actually in Arnhem in the Netherlands, in the east of the Netherlands, close to the German border, at home.
So you're just back from a holiday trip, you told me. Where have you been? have you been traveling with a bike or just a normal holiday?
No, it was... I call it a holiday, but it was actually a my first ultra race that I was competing in. So it was a kind of a cycling holiday, but I had a really rough time there. So,
so yeah. It was not really relaxing. It wasn't a relaxing holiday.
No, definitely not. But I did enjoy myself.
Okay, that's good. So this week, there's a video from you going online that is based on a story from your grandmother. So could you tell me briefly what the video is all about?
Yeah, sure. Basically, it's a video about a ride my grandmother and my parents did back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's the Mosel Raad Tour, which is a cycling tour near the Mosel River in Germany. The special thing about this is that actually I'm from a long line of cycling family. So mm-hmm. My grandmother used to cycle, my parents used to cycle, my uncles and aunts cycle. And basically I didn't want to have to do anything with cycling for a long time, all the way until I was a student.
Okay.
But since I've become a big cycling addict and I've been exploring also my cycling past and my cycling history. Mm-hmm. So when my grandmother moved houses last year, we were cleaning out her house and I actually bumped into this old cabinet full of cycling medals. And in between all these cycling medals was a old stamp card.
Yeah.
Of this 1981 Mosel Raad Tour. And the special thing about this was that it had a route card drawn on it. So you could actually see what they had cycled on this map, on the stamp card.
That's cool.
And it was actually, she had a lot of medals in there, but I wanted to, like, we were throwing a lot of stuff away because she was moving to a smaller house. But I wanted to save something from the past to kind of as a proof that my grandparents were actually already cyclists.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I saved this stamp card from the 1981 Mosel Raad Tour. And I kept it like in my possession for months. I didn't really look at it. And then when I had it in my hands again, a couple of months later, I actually saw that... that this ride was exactly 40 years ago, last September 21st. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, that's actually pretty cool if I could do like a tribute ride to kind of celebrate the past of my family,
yeah,
the cycling past of my family, and do this ride again 40 years exactly to the date of this specific ride that they did in Germany. And it's not necessarily like they did a lot of riding back in the day, but it's this tour that they visited multiple times that, I don't know, stuck out to me.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we did. We went to the Mosel and we did a gravel tribute actually to this ride.
That sounds really nice. That sounds great. Yeah. While your grandmother using was using a lot of the roads and the cycle paths back in the days.
Yeah.
You have decided to do it a different way. So you decided to do a gravel trip of this. So why you decided to do it not on the original route and go for a gravel ride?
Well, this is basically because I ride a lot of bike, but it's a lot of gravel riding that I do. I'm a big gravel enthusiastic person. But I'm also a person, I don't like to do stuff that already other people do. So I like to do new stuff and explore new roads.
Yeah.
That's also why I like gravel a lot, because it's a perfect way of cycling to explore new paths and unpaved paths and places people don't go a lot. And so when I saw the route map of this Mosel Radtour, it actually hit me that this is a area that they farm wine in. So there's a lot of vineyards there. And I have done a bikepacking before, and I was in the Elsass, which is a wine area near the German-French border. And what struck me back then is that these vineyards have a lot of beautiful gravel roads in between. And they are actually quite beautiful. They're also really quiet. Nobody really uses them except the farmers. But they're great for gravel riding.
Yeah.
And so when I saw this Mosel Radtour map in front of me on the stamp card, I immediately had the idea of not taking the roads and doing exactly what my grandparents did back in the day, because that would just be blunt copying of what they did. But I wanted to make a tribute that was also part of what I do. And what I do is I ride gravel and I explore new roads. So yeah. I kind of combined my knowledge of the vineyard gravel roads with the route that they originally had ridden. And that basically ended up being a gravel tribute.
Yeah, this is really cool. So back in the days, your grandparents, they had the stamp card with the route drawing on it. So it was quite easy to find the way and know where to go. In your case, it's much more difficult. So how did you plan the tour?
Yeah, it was easy because the Mosel River is actually quite, well, you know, a river has a certain form, so you can kind of easily find the river back on the map. And also some of the city names were drawn into the stamp card. But yeah, the gravel roads themselves are obviously not drawn in there. So I used Komoot. I do a lot of Komoot routes as well. And I find Komoot perfect for finding gravel roads as well. So basically what I did is use the Komoot system to find the perfect gravel roads in the, and from there take it and plan the route using highlights that already existed, but also taking a few gambles left and right. But they ended up like really perfect, because the route was actually, when we were actually there riding the route, it was much more beautiful than I had expected up front.
This is really, really nice. I mean, the video is just coming out this week, but I had the chance to already watch it, and I really like it because, yeah, as you said, the nature and everything, it's so beautiful. And for people who want to join you on a ride or to do this right, is it possible to download your Komoot route?
Yes, it is. I have actually uploaded it to my Komoot profile as well. I made a collection out of this story. So there's not only the story there, but also the route and GPX file that you can download. So you can actually go and ride this route yourself. And I would definitely suggest doing so, because it's, like you said, it's actually really pretty. And the extra fun thing about this route is that maybe like the original route stuck to the cycling paths a lot. So that meant that they were riding a lot down at the river level. But if you take the Mosel area, the wine area, is actually quite steep hills, but the gravel roads are actually more up the hill. So mm-hmm. you're riding not only on a perfect gravel road, but you're also constantly experiencing beautiful views over the valley and the river below.
Yeah. But as you already said, I mean, the Mosel Valley is very famous for wine and the vineyards, which means that the hills are quite steep. So how much did you regret to not riding on the river level, but going up and down all the steep climbs on the side?
That's a good question, but not a lot actually, because it's actually quite pretty up there. So yeah, sure, there are one or two steep climbs, but actually, all in all, it wasn't too bad. It was actually quite okay to ride up the hills. There were, like I said, one or two really steep parts, and maybe you have to hike your bike in these parts, but it's not never too long because it's not that high up over there. Mm-hmm. And actually the views up there and the riding up there is so rewarding that even if you have a hard time climbing up, it's definitely worthwhile when you're up there and enjoying the views. And yeah, so I would definitely do it like this again. Like, I wouldn't ride up like down at the river level. I would always go up the hill there. Yeah.
Okay, that's perfect. So what did you like the best about this trip? Was it the wine or the combination between everything?
I think it was, like I said, like the original idea was to pay a tribute to my cycling family, actually, and to do so by riding this route that they rode 40 years ago. But then, like I said, make a gravel tribute and not just copy the route, but to make it something that was also part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I actually like the whole concept of riding there, enjoying the ride a lot. Like I said, it was so much more pretty than I had thought of in the beginning when I was planning this route. So I was excited riding it, but when I was riding it myself, it was actually so much more pretty.
Yeah.
But also then when I was riding there, I don't want to sound maybe too romantic, but it actually hit me that when I was riding there, like, these are exactly the same places and the same views that my grandparents were seeing and enjoying on the bike back in the day. And it kind of hit me that how cool it is that this cycling thing we're doing, it's not like only now and here. It's been around for a long time, and actually it will be around after we're gone also for a long time still to come. Yeah. And it's routes like this that you can keep riding them and keep enjoying them, and those landscapes will never be gone. It's really special to relive something that has happened in the past again.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, this is really, really, really cool. So this year you took part in the, please help me with the name, is it Gran Guanche? Or how,
yeah.
how is the name of this multi-day gravel race across the Canary Islands?
Yeah, well, this is actually the ultra race I was talking about earlier that I just returned from.
Yeah.
And it's a Spanish word. It's something like Gran Guanche. I don't know, a Spanish person would probably say it different, that it's something like that. And it's basically a gravel route over, and that combines like the main Canarian islands. So it starts at Lanzarote all the way in the north, and then kind of goes down all the islands. So it goes to Fuerteventura, then Gran Canaria, Tenerife, and then finally ending in La Palma, where there's now an active volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a really heavy ride, but also really beautiful.
Yeah. How did you go on the ride? Was it good? I've seen some pictures from you lying in the, was it on a ferry, or you looked quite tired.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, I ride a lot of gravel, and I'm also experienced in bikepacking. But I have never before ridden an ultra race, so I do a lot of dot watching. But actually, to put on a race cap with a number and yeah, ride something like this myself was a new experience for me. And I think what you hear a lot when people talk about riding ultras is that experience is so important.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what I have experienced myself now, first degree, because I went there and the race started at on a Saturday, but it started at 10 o'clock in the evening. And this has to do with the ferries, because you kind of have to take a ferry to get from one island to the other. Mm-hmm. And it because of the time schedule of the first ferry, it makes sense to have the race start in the evening instead of in the morning. Mm-hmm. But this also meant that we started the race in the dark, and you immediately were faced with the choice of, am I going to go sleep? Or am I going to go right through all the night? If you start a race like this, you're kind of fresh, you know, your legs feel good, you're fresh in your mind. So, and all the people around me, like the fast kids, but also like the even the slower ones, were like, no, we're gonna ride this island through the night. So I kind of followed that same principle and just rode all way through the night, the first island, Lanzarote. And from there, I kind of just cycled through on Fuerteventura the Sunday after, so the day after. Yep. I just kept cycling. And at a certain point, I found myself at the southern harbor of Fuerteventura, having ridden two complete Canarian islands in something like 26 hours.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really rough route. There were like a lot of hiker bikes as well, and sandy sections like beach, and but also like trails. So it was a really rough experience on me to do this without any sleep.
Yeah.
And then like the island after that is Gran Canaria, but I only had like 4 hours of sleep in the crappy B&B. So I kind of made the mistake of maybe hitting it too hard in the beginning and mm-hmm. just like sleeping too little. And that kind of caught up with me when I was riding on Gran Canaria and Tenerife, because I was actually like really tired. And I think these are also the pictures you saw on my Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm like sleeping on a boat and I'm sleeping on some square in my sleeping bag. I was actually too tired to even pump up my air mattress. So I slept on a square, and I slept really shitty in all these nights.
Yeah.
And that really fucked me up.
Yeah, this everything adds up to a really, really bad and tired time, yeah, I bet. So you have ridden, or someone has ridden, I think the race organizer, that you made the usual beginner mistakes in the first race you did. So not sleeping was one, but did you made any other mistakes you would change for the next time?
Yes. Yeah. Well, definitely listen to my body, like more like sleep when I'm tired would be a really good one. And I think I went a little heavy on my bike as well, mm-hmm. because I had a bike and it was without any water, was 23 kilos. And I thought that might be quite okay. But then when we weighed all the bikes in the beginning of the race, I was actually the most heavy bike of the whole race. So I had a couple of laughs of that as well from other riders. and I must say that, you know, when it comes to a race like this, because there's a lot of climbing in this race on the Canarian Islands. So, I mean, doing a race with a lot of climbing, obviously it's much better to have a lightweight bike. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to revisit my packing strategy on the next one, I think.
Okay. But do you want to take part in such a race again? Or are you done with this shit and doing the Mono Radweg again?
This was actually funny. I really tackled this one the wrong way. And it really caught up with me. In the middle of the race, I had I kind of hit the brakes. I thought of quitting, but I booked a hotel instead, because I always heard like you shouldn't scratch in the evening or at night. So I didn't, and I booked a hotel. I had a really good night's sleep, and then the second day on Tenerife was actually a good night because I had a great rest before, and I felt actually good again, and I really enjoyed the second day on Tenerife. But still, I kind of felt like I'm never gonna do this again. I'm just gonna party pace, bike pack the next one. And I was telling this at the Finnish party to Josh Ibbett, who is kind of famous in this world of ultra riding.
Yeah.
And he basically laughed at me, and he said, "You know, you're gonna change your mind anyway." And I said to him, no, I'm not going to change my mind. This was terrible. I'm never going to do something like this again. And he said, "You know what, Erwin? Either it's 5 nights of sleep or 5 beers. Whichever one comes first will change your mind." And It was actually 5 beers.
Okay, yeah. But it's always the same. I mean, you're doing something which is really painful, and you think you will never do it again. And then 2 days later, you think, "This was probably the best thing I've ever done, and I will do it again."
That happened to me. I start recognizing that. Yeah.
So gravel biking is becoming more and more popular, and not only for the extreme riders like you or like the people who compete in this race, but also for everyone. So that's why the Green Divide was created in the Netherlands. What is a green divide?
Yeah, well, actually, just to clarify, I don't think myself as an extreme gravel rider. I actually always my life slogan is "Party pace wins the race." I always stop during my rides. I even bring like a gas can and make some coffee along the way, or I even stop for a mid-ride beer or something. So I'm actually kind of a party pacer myself as well, which is perfect in combination with gravel. This is maybe also a nice bridge. The green divide is, I live in the Netherlands next to the Veluwe, and this is basically the biggest forest of the Netherlands. And as you might know, the Netherlands isn't that big. And because it's a lot of meadows and boulder landscapes, we don't have that much gravel also. So it's actually quite hard to create a really beautiful long gravel route in the Netherlands. But then I started thinking like, hey, wait, this forest that I'm living at the edge of is actually quite long. It's like 100 kilometers extending north. Mm-hmm. And it's also extending east a lot. And I kind of like years ago already, I started like drawing an off-road route from where I live in the south of the forest to the north. And I ended up like with a route, say 100 kilometers. And it was my idea was to create a route that would take me in one direction, just go straight ahead all the time and kind of only hit right in the forest. Mm-hmm. And I like this idea so much that I kept improving the route and making it bigger and creating detours that were really worthwhile. And at a certain point, this kind of grew into this route that is now a 300 kilometer long gravel forest route. And it kind of extends over the length of this complete biggest forest of the Netherlands. It's a combination of the Utrechtse Heuvelrug and Veluwe, which are the two biggest forests actually. Mm-hmm. And I had to look for a name. So, and it's also, it's like a really green route, obviously, because it's all forest. So I kind of made a little wink to the Great Divide route in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I called it the Green Divide. And now, actually, I made it obviously basically for myself because I liked riding this route. But after it launched, it actually exploded into something that has become really popular over the last year in the Netherlands and even international. So a lot of people have been riding this route now and really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's really a cool way to explore the the landscape and crossing a country. So, since this road is not super extreme and not super extremely technical, it's really made for almost everyone. So what are your best tips for someone who wants to ride the Green Divide as a beginner?
To take it easy, because there has been a couple of fast people as well already that have ridden the route in one go, so in one day in summer. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, but the route, actually, I made the route with the idea to create kind of like a beautiful bikepacking route almost. So my advice to people, especially beginners, would be to take 3, maybe even 4 days and ride it on a party pace, enjoy the nature, you know, stop for a picture, stop for a coffee, take a good night's sleep somewhere in a hotel, or if you're a bikepacker, maybe set up a camp somewhere on a campsite, and basically enjoy the route.
Drink a midday beer.
Definitely, yeah.
That sounds really cool. So it's I think it's really a thing I should do next year, because it really sounds good, and I really like the concept of not racing through it, but enjoying it. So that's really sounds great. So
yeah,
since you have created this route and then did the Moselrad Tour and the bikepacking race, what is on your list for next year, for 2022? What adventures do you want to do?
Well, I'm still working on it a little bit, but the funny thing is, you asked me before, like, am I ever going to do an ultra race like the Grand Guanche again? Actually, like I said, the answer is probably yes. But it's even worse, because I actually already have a ticket for the Atlas Mountain Race in February.
Oh!
I already had it in my pocket, and I was actually thinking of like getting rid of my ticket again, but now I'm start thinking again, like, nah, I should probably ride it. So I'm gonna, if COVID permits me to, gonna ride the Atlas Mountain Race in February. And I'm actually also in possession of a gravel race ticket for the Rift on Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really a racer per se. It kind of looks like I'm a racer now, right? With the ultra and but I actually try to visit these events because I really want to enjoy the route and the place where you're going. And I'm not afraid of like a sportive kind of like a something to try. But I'm definitely not riding these rides to be first or to win it or something, just to enjoy myself.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So I definitely wish you all the best for 2022,
and thank you.
Good luck on your on your new racing career. Enjoy all the races you do, enjoy all the gravel rides, and I hope we talk here soon again.
I hope so too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.